This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us. This is our Thursday custom. And Louisiana is afflicted mightily by coronavirus. The latest statistics show Louisiana eighth in the nation in the number of cases, and all the other states ahead of Louisiana, New York, New Jersey, California, Michigan, Florida, Massachusetts, Illinois, they're all much bigger than Louisiana, all in double digits in electoral votes. Louisiana has eight. We're by far the smallest state. We've moved ahead of Washington, which is now in 10th place. So in Washington, they have largely contained this. It was feared that there would be a widespread breakout there because in Seattle, as we know, many cases happened early on. But now Louisiana's eighth, Pennsylvania ninth, Washington 10th, and then when you look, all big states, Georgia 11th, Texas 12th, but our state, as usual, in a bad category, is right at the top. And in number of deaths, 273 deaths in Louisiana, which ranks third in America. Third in America. It's fourth. New York with 2,219. New Jersey, 355, Michigan, 337, and Louisiana, 273. So, Mark Ballard, you're covering this, as is just about every other journalist. Whoever is in the news business now is following coronavirus, and each week when we visit you, the numbers go up, and let's face it, they're likely to keep going up for a while.
Yeah, that's our understanding. It's going to be going up hopefully for only a couple of more weeks, but that remains to be seen. That's what their modeling is kind of showing, and that we've just started with the high numbers. I think that's fair to say. It seems like every day this week we had exponentially more deaths than we had before, and the other thing that we're seeing is that the numbers are spreading out from the New Orleans metro area and is covering, I guess, 60 out of 64 parishes where they found the virus. So.
Well, in states like New York, which has been hit the hardest, there's no mystery why New Jersey, neighboring state, is number two now. So often that's the case. But Louisiana has a high rate, and so far Arkansas does not, Mississippi does not, but that may very well change. And in Mississippi, at last report, some restaurants were still doing business in the Magnolia State. But the shelter-in-place order that the governor imposed on March 16th that was to last until April 13th has been extended to April 30th. And, Mark, I think it's almost a certainty that this goes on at the very least through May 31st.
Well, sadly, I mean, I think that's what's going to be happening. I mean, the doctors that we're talking to are saying you're looking at June, July before this is all over. And so that's, all over, and then will it ever all be over? But, I mean, it'll be June or July before these lockdowns and extreme measures are not going to be necessary.
And in June or July, the numbers may be similar to what they are now, but they will be on the way down, and that is considered the flattening of the curve. But
right.
It's going to be a dangerous situation out there for 18 months or so, and I think the hope is that in June or July, that if somebody gets it, they can get medical treatment, and the big fear now is that some people will not get the treatment that is necessary to battle this because of the flood on hospital emergency rooms with people coming in who are near death from coronavirus.
And that is a problem. They're looking at within a few days of running out of bed space in the New Orleans metro area. The ventilators are also there. They're struggling mightily to find enough ventilators, but then are competing with all the other states and a lot bigger, a lot richer states. Trying to get the ventilators, the governor is concerned that, you know, next week that there will be patients coming in that need a ventilator and they just won't have a ventilator.
Well, we encourage listeners to call us if you would like, 877-217-5757, and you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And We've also got some folks who sent in some emails that are relevant to this, and we will get to some of those as we move along with Mark Ballard, our favorite guest in many weeks, and always on Thursdays. We're privileged to have this man who comes and he just takes anything that comes his way. And Louisiana has been hit with a vengeance by coronavirus, and it affects journalists who are out there and cannot get away from covering the news. And I know, Mark, you're doing some of your work at home, but it's impossible to do an effective job completely without being in the midst of people who may or may not have it. And the journalism, quite often in cases like this, is exceptional. And I look at the Advocate today, and the front page is an example. There are several different angles to this, all of which are compelling. And one is that this minister, Tony Spell, in Central, he is sticking to his guns, pastor of the Life Tabernacle Church. He got arrested. He's still holding services. And now he's hired, or he apparently is going to hire, former Alabama judge Roy Moore as his legal eagle. So things get stranger and stranger.
It's going to be quite a circus, I'm afraid. And this will also be a challenge on the enforcement of the governor's order is kind of shaky at best, on legal grounds. There is the section of the law that allows for this order is basically, it seems it's poorly worded, and it seems to attach to people connected with corporations that do bad things against the order, and it's usually kind of like selling gasoline at a high price during a hurricane and that sort of thing, and that is what they're trying to attach to the Reverend. And the changes in the law, I mean, that they've already been filed to kind of straighten out the wording of it. So it should be an entertaining court case, if indeed we ever get to the court case.
Yeah, the courthouses are not open for business right now either, so we'll see. But Roy Moore, who is now ostracized in his home state of Alabama, has found a new life in Louisiana. Patrick in Innisfil, go ahead.
He does not have a Louisiana ticket, so he's just going to be sitting there helping.
He will be an advisor. Okay. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfil Estates, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, the governor likes to say we're in this all together, but we're not. Some people are losing their businesses. We're basically nosediving into bankruptcy and anarchy because, like you said, we don't have a court system now. People can break the law. They're not going to stay in jail very long, is what I've heard, for lesser crimes. We don't have a court system to enforce, civil agreements between people, like leases. So I was very disappointed to hear him extend the deadline to April 30th. What are we supposed to do, just dwell in the anarchy? I think that's worse. I think the cure is becoming worse than the disease. And as far as getting sick, we're all going to get it. I think I possibly have gotten it last week. I'm already getting over it. I don't know if I'm getting over something. And I don't think they're going to be able to pin down the numbers of people that have it or have gotten over it, because a lot of people like myself that get sick, we don't go to the doctor. We usually get over it. It's not a big deal. And we move on.
Well, I hope you weren't out and about if you thought you had it.
Yeah, I'm definitely out and about. I'm not listening to this order. I've got things to do. If I don't do them, I'm going to lose my business.
Well,
I'm going to lose everything I ever worked for
my
entire life.
You might infect somebody who doesn't have an outcome as favorable as yours. You're not being very charitable to your fellow citizens.
I mean, I'm not out there coughing on people and sneezing on them, but, I've got things to do, and I think I'm over it. I feel better, but, it wasn't, I don't even know if I got it. It could have just been a common, cold that you get. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of people like me that are, don't have health insurance. We can't afford it. We have to live by the day, and, we got things to do.
All right, Patrick. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark Ballard will continue his expert analysis of COVID-19 when we return after this pause for the news. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. We'd like to hear from you as we continue our visit with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. Andrew Ellender writes, and by the way, Governor Edwards has received largely complimentary reports for his work during this, but Ellender writes, Governor, why do you refuse to use your resources to enforce your orders? Is there a fear of optics, too much freedom, too much restriction of constitutional rights? Are you wanting local authorities to take the heat? So I guess Ellender's referring to this Tony Spell situation. What can the governor do in a case like this, short of just putting the man in jail?
I would recommend that you all read the story that we have in the works for the weekend that will explain it in great detail of what he can do. And the answer is not very much. The only penalties that are involved are misdemeanor penalties up to 6 months in jail, but like a $500 fine. And they're only applying it, like I was saying earlier, it's a very hazy statute, and they can't really, arrest somebody for violating the order. So, and they're trying to work that out. But I think that the governor is doing all that is within his power to do, and that is to implore people to go along with these restrictions that everybody else in the country is going along with as well.
Well, to show how quickly the world has changed, March 1st, the first case was reported in New York City. March 1st, here we are April 2nd, and of course New York is the epicenter for the total number of cases in the United States of America. And New York City has been hit harder than other parts of the Empire State. But on March 7th, just 25 days ago, the president threw a party at Mar-a-Lago for his son's girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, the former wife of Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, a lady who's now dating his son, Donald Jr., a $50,000 celebration for this event to celebrate Miss Guilfoyle's 51st birthday. And people were rubbing shoulders, and of course the one attendee, a Brazilian government official, was right next to the President of the United States. And Donald Trump every day goes out there for these press briefings, and Mark, he is showing up, no doubt about that, and it was Woody Allen who said 80% of success is showing up. But at some point, we've got a 74-year-old president, not in very good physical condition, who is vulnerable himself.
Indeed, and yes, he's vulnerable, and at some time he may certainly come down with this. I mean, that's just the way of the virus. I mean, he has started off just poo-pooing the whole thing, and now they have largely because of the president has been pushing like $2 trillion to help out folks like your last caller whose businesses are suffering greatly from this coronavirus that they had nothing to do with, but need to kind of pitch in to keep from spreading.
And the Real Clear Politics conflation of polls showing the president's approval rating now at 47.7%, the highest in his presidency, 50.3% disapprove, but at times, the president was almost 20 points underwater. Now he's only 2.6% approval versus disapproval being higher. And let's face it, he won the last election with 46.1% of the votes. So right now, the crisis politically is, to this point, it's been a benefit to our president. 877-217-5757, Trish in Grand Coteau. Hi, Trish. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. It seems to me that one of the common denominators of this is mobility. If this virus had mutated and started up somewhere out in the middle of nowhere that no one ever went, it would have been an interesting footnote. But because so many businessmen travel to and from this factory area, that's how the virus spread. And the thing that the hotspots have in common is international travel in and out of there. they're either tourist destinations or business destinations or port cities where people are really mobile. And it's only a matter of time before this gets other places. Think of Florida, where all those kids were there partying over spring break, many of whom have now tested positive and are all back at their colleges wherever they were from. Think about snowbirds traveling to their homes in Florida to get away from wherever, taking it with them. I mean, it's only a matter of time and a function of mobility, I think.
Trish, you make some great remarks, and that's how pandemics work.
And she's absolutely correct. It started, it has been linked mostly with places that are that have high mobility factors. New Orleans, we had the Mardi Gras, which about 1.5 million people attended and came, and then it spread from there. There's a lot of tourists involved. Big part of this was that the Chinese government, at the very beginning, they also poo-pooed the whole idea and didn't really do anything about it until it got to be too big and it exploded out of their borders, which was the same thing that the U.S. government did when it started here, which was, had we jumped on it from the very beginning, then it would not have spread the way that it has. And you look at South Korea, they did jump on it from the very beginning, and they have not had the same sort of problems that we've had.
Well, I recall about a month ago, the president's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said it was airtight. They had it under control. And then we found out again that it was not airtight, and the markets have been reeling ever since. And today has, to this point, been a better day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 506 points in early going, 1 hour and 10 minutes into trading, 21,449. But that's down from a high of 29,568. So the Dow has lost over 8,000 points in a very short time. And it is going to be a long time, I would think, before it gets back to where it is. The stimulus plan of $2.2 trillion is keeping some businesses afloat who are hemorrhaging red ink. And, of course, journalism is one that is affected by this. And last week we talked about what was happening at The Advocate. Mark did not tell me. I want to say that. Another person did tell me that The Advocate went back on the 20% and now has cut by the 10%. And I'm not even going to ask you to verify that. Only tell me if I'm wrong, Mark. But I did hear that to be the case. So I'm pleased that John Georges is doing his best to keep the trains rolling at the newspaper of record. And it is an entity that we need dramatically. And I mentioned the journalism is just so exceptional when people of talent take their talents and cover something like this. It shows who really has the ability to be a, quote, journalist. And amid all the other tragedies, another one in New Orleans, Ellis Marsalis Jr., 85-year-old piano legend. He was hospitalized with COVID-19, and he has died from that disease. And he was the patriarch of one of the great musical families of the United States, learned to play the saxophone in high school, switched to piano as he studied classical music at Dillard. And at that time, believe it or not, jazz was not the esteemed art form at the university. But Ellis Marsalis changed a lot, and he had a remarkable life and career. And what a shame that his life ends in this way, Mark Ballard.
It is, but I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of this over the next year or so of people coming down with the virus and dying from it, and famous people.
It
doesn't seem to know any bounds.
No, it's hitting everybody. And I was stunned about Ted James. That was one that was very shocking to me, because, as I mentioned, he's 37 years old. And when I say 37, he's in a good shape, 37.
But he's out in the community all the time. And that's, he is at most of every function that happens, particularly in his district, but basically in Baton Rouge in general. So he is out and about all the time, and so it didn't really come as a surprise to me. And I mean, but we see, take, for instance, the crew of Zulu. This thing has passed through them, and I've forgotten the numbers on it, but I mean, it's a good number of the members, including several old kings, have passed from it. So it's just if you're out in the community, then you could get spread. You could have the coronavirus spread to you.
Three members now of the state legislature have been diagnosed with coronavirus. Is that correct?
It's not totally correct in that we have, and again, in addition to Ted James and Representative Rodney Lyons, was never actually tested, but he had coronavirus symptoms and went into the hospital and was hospitalized for about 14 days and then came out and then was self-quarantined. Mm-hmm. And so, but he was never tested for the coronavirus. And now my understanding is Representative Bagla from the Bayou Country.
Yeah, in fact, Jim Nichols sends a note saying Representative Reggie Bagla asked that that we know that he tested positive for COVID-19. He's in St. Ann Ochsner Hospital in Matthews, doing well. Wants to thank Ochsner St. Ann for outstanding treatment he's received. Will be home soon. So that is good news. And Sean Wilson, the Secretary of Transportation, is back at work. Dr. Sean Wilson.
After several weeks.
After several weeks. And he's another guy who's a robust fellow, but it probably was critical to his recovery. And it took a while, even though he was in good shape. And we'll talk more with Mark Ballard when we return after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster, and the exceptional Mark Ballard of The Advocate is with us for a bit longer, 877-217-5757. And amid the coronavirus pandemic, there are some real heroes, and let's not forget those in the medical group. Doctors and nurses, as Nicholas Kristof writes in the New York Times today, responding to the COVID-19 pandemic are superheroes of our age, putting themselves at risk to save the lives of others. At least 61 doctors and nurses have died from the coronavirus in Italy so far. In New York City, two nurses have died. More than 200 health workers are reported sick at a single major hospital. And they are doing their jobs, and they, of course, are not running from this crisis. And there is no shelter in place at hospitals. And we commend them. And in Spain, every day at a certain time, I think it's at 6 o'clock in the evening, people go to their windows or on their balconies, wherever they are, and they cheer and applaud for people in the medical association. And Mark, for good reason. These are true heroes who are risking their lives to save the lives of the rest of us.
That is true. And that I guess that's what they did when they signed up, but for what they're doing. But this is where the rubber hits the road for a lot of the medical profession, in that, you know, they have to go in and they have to selflessly help others who are sick and dying.
877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. I think it's the same question I had last week. Like, do we know what happens when you get over this? Are you still able to infect other people, you know, once you get well from this disease? The other thing is, like, we've come up now on our 2-week quarantine, so it's not supposed to. In other words, that's where, if you're not so symptoms, then, you know, you're probably all right.
All right.
The science on this is kind of is inconclusive. They've not quite got a handle on it. A lot of viruses will give you immunity after you've gone through it and if you survive it. But this could also act like the flu. Remember, this is kind of a cousin of the flu, and in which you can get that every year. And so the science is not sure about the immunity factor and whether you, after been through this for 2 weeks, don't go out and pick it up in running around the city. That, as far as they know, that that's possible.
Timmy in Scotlandville. Hi, Timmy. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard.
Yes. About this coronavirus, I know I've heard people speak about the fact that in the summer months, this disease may wane down quite a bit, but then there's also the possibility of it cropping back up in the fall. I'd like to get your thoughts about that.
A second wave, that is a real concern, and it happened in 1918. Could happen again, Mark.
And that is a huge concern. The governor spoke about that yesterday, but that there is a very real possibility that that'll come back up in the fall. There's not they're hoping that it kind of dies down over the summer, but they're very concerned about it popping back up next year. And there's nothing in their modeling that says that it may not.
Well, this is one of those stories that at this time, and really at any time, but especially at this time, it's secondary to coronavirus. But let's face it, the whole town is buzzing about it. And on 2C today, if you go to your sports section of the Advocate, LSU football coach Ed Orgeron has filed for divorce from his wife, Kelly. The coach filed the divorce petition February 26th in East Baton Rouge Parish Family Court, stating he and his wife separated February 24th. They've lived separate and apart without reconciliation since that date. In the interest of the marriage of EO and KO, the petition is filed. Their full names are used in the filing. They were married in 1997, have twins born in 98. And it is a case in which this is a personal tragedy of sorts. The coach is 58. He'll be 59 on the 27th day of July. And he just won a national title. Perhaps the greatest team in college football history, 15-0, but it shows, Mark, that even people who are having great success often have personal issues that are profound.
Well, and I'm with you. I'm going to go with the greatest football team in college football ever. but it also goes to show that when you're in a job like that, that you're working 24/7 towards the one goal, which for his was to win the national championship. Which he did, but the cost of that often is, alienation or isolation from your family, and you see that a lot among successful people who get so focused on their goal that they forget about their family and grow apart. So I'm sad to hear it. I'm not surprised.
We wish. The Orgerons well, but they do live in the public eye, and this is a story that has to be reported, and it is one in which people are interested. They're interested because these people are famous, we feel like we know them, and of course there is this feeling of what you just said, that even people who have great success have the same kind of problems as everybody else, and in a weird way, they're, I hate to say this, but there's some take comfort in that, knowing that no matter what you achieve in life, you're never going to get away from problems. And I can only imagine how difficult it is for Coach O and his wife, Kelly, at this time, because the whole world has been shaken by this coronavirus pandemic. And when you have a personal problem on top of it, that makes matters all the worse. You lived in New York City. We've told the story. You went to grad school at Columbia. And, Mark, you know that city well. Can you imagine what it's like right now in New York City with people being forced to stay inside?
I can't imagine that. I've seen the pictures. I have a brother that still lives in New York and has sent pictures of just totally empty streets, of which what was great about New York is that it's such a vibrant community. You walk out onto the streets, and there are people from all over the world, and everybody has business to do, and everybody is it's all hustle and bustle, and it's not now. People are people are not on the streets. It's rare that you see a crowded street, or you don't see a crowded street in New York City now, and it's I wonder what that's going to do with the impact of the hustle and bustle part of it, because the restaurants are all closed. Most of the grocery stores are closed, and when they go into a grocery store now, they have to wait in line and have their temperature checked, and they have to be wearing a mask and gloves. We've not gotten to that point in Louisiana, as bad as Louisiana's hotspot is, that we very well could in the future.
Are your kids at home?
No, my daughter is working in the Boston area for a genetics lab, and she's been working from home for about a month now. And she can do a lot of her work, and her husband can do all of his work on a computer, and that's what they're doing on their kitchen table. My son is at Wake Forest, and we're bringing him home on Saturday because Wake Forest has closed its campus for the rest of the year, or for the rest of the semester and summer semester, so that he will be doing his online classes from here. So we should be getting him home on Saturday.
Well, we thank you, as always, for your insights, Mark. We'll be calling on you again next week. Stay safe, my friend.
And you too.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. And yesterday, a listener, as we were finishing with Steve Inskeep, noted that I should have mentioned, and I should have, that yesterday would have been the 76th birthday of Rusty Staub, one of the great athletes to come out of Louisiana, played in the majors for more than 20 years, started at the Houston Astros, then Houston Colt 45s when he was a teenager, and went to Pride of Jesuit High School, by the way. He died 2 years ago, March 29th, 2018. He was 74 years old at the time, almost 74, 2 days short. But Rusty Staub, Le Grand L'Orange, they used to call him in Montreal. He went from Houston to Montreal to the Mets, where he led the Mets to the National League Championship in 1973. But his teammate with the Astros, Jimmy Winn, one of the great Astros of them all, the toy cannon, died last week. And Jimmy Winn was 78 years old and worked here in Baton Rouge for some radio stations and sales after his career. And it shows you now these guys can make a good living just signing their names. But in those days, Jimmy Winn was in Catfish Town, I remember, pounding the pavement, trying to make a living as a salesman in Baton Rouge. And this coronavirus continues to affect people of all kinds, as Mark Ballard said. One of the famous people now who's announced that he has it is the singer Jackson Browne. He's 71 years old, so he is in the vulnerable category, and a great musician who is slated to be performing in New Orleans later this year. And, of course, all concerts are on hold or actually have been canceled until further notice because of this. We have no idea when life as we know it will resume. But as we part company, we do want to note that signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and here is Jackson Browne.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have